Amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. All right. Today, let's just do a bit of praying for our country, and it's going to be based on a number of scriptural principles that we will quickly read. All right? All right, let me just say today we'll talk about how to pray for a country. Let me say something before I go on, or as part of the thing that I'm going to say today. Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you understand that? What did I say? Or what did he say? All right. That is, doing the will of God is not difficult. And praying, being one of the wills of God that we have to, being one of the things, one of the wills of God that we have to execute, is not a difficult thing. One of the problems I think praying has had for believers is that we are too, methodical. Being methodical now, I'm using it not in a good way, but in a rigid way. What I mean is that we always have methods to pray. We have to try, test God like this, do it like this. Like we always say, you first start with thanksgiving, you will enter his court with praise, and then there are methods, there are ways you say things, there are kinds of tongues you speak. Some will just speak tongue for 1 minute, after that you praise for 2 minutes, then you use a method. Actually, it makes things very cumbersome. Like I said, when Jesus went into the garden to pray, three times he tried to come out. He didn't succeed because the burden was still very heavy. And I always used to say that when he would pray all night, these days we'll make it a habit to pray the whole night. All right? Churches like it. All night service. One of my friends, a pastor, he founded the church. And I said that, how often do you do all night services? He said, the church is like 10 years now. More than 10 years. I think he has only done one all night service or two in over 10 years. His reason is simple. He's like me. That what are we going to stay up all night doing? That we have enough time during the day to do it. So God doesn't answer prayers hotter at night. I don't know whether I get the point. Yeah, we unconsciously think that if we are not there at night, making life very difficult for ourselves and everybody, God is not answering. All right? What I'm trying to say is that it has nothing to do with the time of the day. It has to do with the amount of time you have and what you have to pray about. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, so sometimes we try to make religion out of it, make it a kind of a religious habit, and it takes away all the power that's inside it. I'm bringing out an issue. What really God expects is that we do. Let me give you an example. If you have an issue, all right, with your boss, you have an issue in the office, and you have a recommendation, or you're supposed to give an instruction to your subordinate, I don't think that when you're trying to do it, though you may follow a proper order, all right? But you don't do just because there's an order to follow. You do whatever you have to do because there is something to be done. Are you getting my point? That is, assume that you're a boss in the office, and as you're about to enter, you discover that refuse was heaped at your gate. So as soon as you enter, you ask, who packed that refuse there? Are you getting my point? And they say, somebody was cleaning. Anyway, you say, okay, send me the head of the cleaners. You will now give an instruction. Go out there and remove the refuse. If you have to write a memo, you will write a memo. But the idea is that you saw something you want to tackle. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. And that's just the way prayer is. It's not just about trying to do something that everybody says must be done. We do things on purpose. There are real issues that we are tackling if we go to work. And that's the way it is with Christianity. It's not just about a habit. There are real issues that we are tackling when we are dealing in the matter of prayer. Now, we're going to read a number of scriptures. Nothing new, since scriptures we have read today. And read in previous times, we're going to read them again today. Let's just start from the book of Isaiah chapter... We'll read Isaiah chapter 62, but we also have a few to read. Okay, let me start first from the book of Matthew chapter 5. You'll see the reason why I said that in a moment. That all the things that I said. Now, that's the famous Sermon on the Mount. I want to read is verse 13, but I always like to read in context. Let's just start from verse 13. So you are the salt of the earth, but if the earth has become tasteless, if the salt has become tasteless or lost its savor, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure or bushel, but on the lampstand, that's where they put it, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Now, where I want you to notice verse 13, where it says, you are the salt of the earth. Let me quickly explain what it means to be the salt of the earth again. We've said this thing several times, but let's just keep saying it. Salt of the earth, what it implies is when, if you remember, the best way to illustrate it is what happened when Abraham was going down to, when God was going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed a prayer and said, if you find 10 righteous people, it started from 50 and it ended in 10. He said, will you still destroy the place? And God said, no, if I find 10 people who are righteous, I will not destroy. Now let us assume, of course you know that God did not find 10. Did he find? Say it no loud if you believe that. Good. If God did not find 10, therefore he destroyed the place. Now let's imagine that he found 10 people. Would he have destroyed the place? Now let us assume, okay, that there were 100,000 people in Sodom and Gomorrah combined. I don't know the number. Our cities those days were not as big as some of the ones we have today. Let's assume that in both places we had 100,000 to 200,000 people. Let me ask you a question. I mean, it's an obvious, the answer is very obvious. And let's say God spared the 150,000 people in those two places combined. Will it have been because of anything that 150,000 people did? Do you get my point? You don't get my answer. Would it have been because the 150,000 people prayed? That's why God did not destroy it. It would have been that God spared the land of 150,000 people because of 10 people. The 10 people are called the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, salt is the reason why something does not decay. Are you getting my point? So if God pronounces, proposes judgment, and he suspends judgment because of some people, those people are called what? The salt of the earth. Let me say this. The earth is always, the earth has a lot of reasons to be destroyed. All right? The only reason why God doesn't destroy it is because of certain people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why the road in Enugu is improving and why power supply in Nigeria will improve, why justice system in Nigeria will improve, why why Nigerian police will improve, the reason why transportation in Nigeria will improve, the reason why the educational system in Nigeria will improve, it's not because 140 million people live in the country. It's not because you suddenly got PDP and ANPP to be full of good people. The reason is because God will look around and count 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 people. And because those 1,000 people call Nigeria their country, he will bless the nation because of 1,000 people. Are you getting the point? Those 1,000 people are called the salt of the country. That's why I always say, we complain about brain drain, brain drain, brain drain. Worse than brain drain is spiritual drain. If good people all run away from Nigeria, and that's why God says that the righteous man perishes, no one takes it to heart. That is, when you see good people begin to disappear, oh boy, run. I don't know whether you understand my point. That it's a sign that God says, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. When those people saw, if they saw Lot and his family running away, they should have followed them. They should have known that if Lot is running away, then the rest of us are in trouble. Are you getting my point? Jesus said to the disciples, he said, when you see the armies surround Jerusalem, then know that her desolation is near. So he said, those of you here and who are outside, don't return to the cities. Those of you in the city begin to disappear. That is, anybody who had wisdom, if you saw the disciples of Jesus Christ running, you should have followed them. Are you getting my point? So when you have, that's what I call spiritual drain. When the forces of good, for whose sake God is preserving the land, begins to deplete, it's time for everybody else to run. So I always say that, people say that, why can't you go to this country? Life is better. I say, listen, worse than brain drain is spiritual drain. Do you understand my point? Because if you drain the brain, that's manpower. All right? We can still get by one way or the other. But when you remove the reason, the good reason why God should preserve the country, then really, really, that nation has a problem. That's the meaning of the word salt of the earth. So Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you are the salt of the earth. That is, if you look at yourself, you are the salt of your state. You are the salt of Nigeria. I believe that, of course, nations is what God deals with actually. And we are bound by the same laws, the same borders, the same system, military system and everything. So you see that you are indeed the salt of Nigeria. You are not a non-entity. Whether you have money or you don't, whether you have a big job or a small job, whether you are a politician or you are not, it's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual things. That is, if from our hearts faith rises up, God will change kings, not because the king wants to be changed, but because he has to get people that will do his will concerning his people. He said, you know why I have called Cyrus? He said, because he will make my oppressed go free. That is, Cyrus came to the position of power, not because he was strong. He came to the position of power, not because he had the skills to overtake Babylon, all right? But he came to the position of power because God said, he will make my oppressed go free. The deliverance that God had purposed for the people of God was the reason why he came to the position of authority. That is, when God is said to do you and I good, God brings certain kinds of people into power. One day, Kingsley asked me, he said, he was listening to my message, so he called me. Or was it where he was in Nigeria? It was in Enugu then. Anyway, we spoke. He said, I made a statement. He wants to know whether I really mean it or I was just hoping I'm prophesying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He said, I said that Nigeria can be turned around in 6 months. He said, is it really possible? I told him most certainly yes. No, he wasn't asking whether it's possible. He said, do you mean it when you say that? I said, yes. I mean that absolutely. I mean that we can wake up. And of course, things that have been happening have been showing us that it's doable. Let me give you an example. If you tell somebody, let's just take it as an example. Look at Enugu, where we live right now. It's amazing that once I leave the dirt road leading to my house, I hardly enter any portal till I get back home. Usually the portholes I enter are the ones, the short stretches off the main road to where I'm going. Now, this is just in the last 18 months or so. All right, the activity started about 2 years ago, but I explained like this in a few, less than 18 months. I mean, just to prove that things like this, they do happen. I always tell the story of when I wanted to marry my wife. I mean, we were planning to marry. And so she was in Benin, I was in Lagos. And to talk to each other, I had a Nitel phone card. Remember them? You've forgotten them now, most of you. And I will leave my apartment around 11:30 p.m. and walk across the whole compound of Lagos University Teaching Hospital Idiaraba down to the College of Medicine section, where they had a fully functional Nitel card phone. And I used to go at 11:30 because then the queue would be bearable. And then I will now put my card and start talking. Of course, by that time, she would have set alarm to wake up at 11:30. So when the phone rings, first ring, she will pick it up. She'll sit down beside the extension and pick it up because there's an extension beside her parents' bed. And when it rings, they want to know who's calling this house at 12 midnight. I know her mother will always pick the phone. You know the way women are, she will pick that phone. My father-in-law doesn't bother, but her mother will pick the phone, listen to the first 15 seconds of the gist, and then decide that in the interest of peace and tranquility, she should hang up. But that's the way it was, all right? So, of course, once I hear, I just know that I know somebody else is listening. So, just very holy gist for the first few 15 seconds. How are you doing? Have you read your Bible today? Oh, has the Lord spoken to you? It's all a lie. Once you hear the click, baby, how you doing, man? What's happening? It's as it just stand for him. My heart just do jiggy jiggy, like really way. You start talking all those sweet gist. Well, you know, the point I'm making is that that was how we had to make phone calls. And then after we got married, we stayed together. We lived in Lut for a while. Then I came to Enugu ahead of her for about 2 weeks or so. And then to talk, I had my same Nitel card. I'll go down to the, they had this row of phone cards in UNEC, just near the library. On Sunday, I used to time it. I know my church would finish around 12 o'clock. And the only way I could talk to my wife was to borrow my pastor's phone. My pastor had this old, that's the mobile phone of those days. So as soon as service ends, he understood. He would just hand my wife the phone. Once my wife comes, good afternoon, sir. The guy gets the point. This is not pastor congregation relationship. This is, I want to borrow your phone to talk to my husband. He will just hand out the phone, and yeah, I'm waiting. And then when the church service will end, I punch pastor's phone. Of course, after a while, I didn't used to hear his voice anymore. Just my wife straight. Gist. That was a few years ago. 3 years after all this story I told, we could hardly remember those days. Because President Obasanjo made Ernestine Dukwe the executive vice chairman of NCC. They rolled out licenses, and then MTN and Econet decided to be racing themselves to give us phones. You look back now, you almost can't believe it. There was a time we had to queue up in cyber cafes, RainbowNet, 10 naira a minute to browse. And I thought it was expensive until I heard that it was 17 naira a minute in Asaba, just to check your meals. All right? But now, just plug in your other Starcoms, Multilinks, Zain, MTN, Etisalat, Glow, all kinds of modems are coming to town. What I'm saying is that in a few months, it's doable. All right? Kingsley said, what about all the bureaucratic bottlenecks in Abuja and all the, what they call it, corruption there? I say it's very simple. Sacking people is one of the easiest things to do in Nigeria. So I told Kingsley that when we are ready, it won't take us 6 months. 6 months is, 6 months is a long time. Now, please, why am I saying all of these things? That when God is really ready, it's a small thing. It's a very small, that is, it's so small. That's why the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That is, people will say that, is it not the same Nigeria? You will look and say, 6 months ago, I would not have believed that this was possible. He said, but before my eyes, it is happening. A time will come, hear me, I feel like a prophet. They will offer Nigerians American visas and we will laugh. Say, what am I going to do with it? Shortly, a time will come when they will offer Nigerians. They say, okay, I'll come and go and give it to your child in America. You say, why? You say, no, the medical bills, they are too expensive. I'll do it in Nigeria, it's better. I say, see visas, see everything. Say, I know they go. A time is coming, listen to me. A time will come, eh? You will go to an institute, to a place to go and apply for a job. You will have an MBA from Harvard. A man will come with an MBA from Covenant University. And sorry, the Harvard man just lost the chance. A man will show up with a BSc, a BA from Babcock University. All right? And they will look and say, what they teach in this Liverpool, we are not sure. At least we know what they are teaching in Babcock. I'm telling you. The time will come. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it will happen. It will happen in a short while. That is, when you know, not the one that you spend all your father. Your father will sell land, sell everything, so you want to go and get an MBA from abroad. It's about to happen. All right, that you will just walk across to Ogun State in Babcock University there, and come back with an MBA, and everybody will be saluting you. A time will come that Lagos Business School will suddenly not be a big deal anymore. Because MBAs from other universities around are so internationally sound, these things are doable. And they will happen. Amen. This is the point I'm making. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, the Bible says it was like as if we're dreaming. And this is it. God will do that once the salt of the earth is ready and they have risen up in their hearts, release a lot of spiritual substance into the atmosphere. And they download the blessings of God. What am I saying? These things won't happen because PDP suddenly became filled with the Spirit. Are you getting my point? The only reason why it will happen is because God is set to bless you and set to bless me. Listen, you are unique if you are a child of God. God, listen, there will be 1 million people on this side. God will look and say, there's nobody there. And there will be only you standing here. And God will release all the hordes of heaven to come and stand in your defense and move things for your sake. That's the way it is. Listen, don't take Christianity as a joke. It's not we go to church. Are you getting my point? Nothing happens to you by accident. Let me not go into all of that, because let me preach my main message. Why did I say all of this? I was trying to explain the meaning of salt of the earth. And as I were praying for the country today, please let just bear that one in mind, all right? So that God is waiting, that the reason why God will do things for our country is not because of anything. That's why it's very important we purify our hearts. Do you hear what I said? It's very vital we purify our hearts. The salt of the earth cannot afford to lose its savour. It affects, these things reflect in the way we talk. These things reflect in the way we think. Let me give you an example. Anyway, let me not get there now, because I won't talk about it in the moment. And the issues happening in the country. Okay, let me give this as an example, all right? This will be a good example now. I was teaching this morning. Was it this morning? Or yesterday, yes. I was in Esut College of Medicine. I was giving a lecture. So I just listen with the students. I do that a lot with my students, even though I teach medicine, but I just talk spiritual things and social life. I said, you know, Enugu is relatively very peaceful compared to Anambra on the left, Ebonyi on the right, Abia State behind, and Imo State in front. I don't know the geographical distribution anyway. You know, it looks like an island of sanity where people rarely get kidnapped. I'm not saying they never get kidnapped, but it's rare, all right? So rare that one day I told somebody that they kidnapped some girls. He said, girls? Ah, he said, forget. Now they are boyfriends. They arrange against their father. That this was such a... I was saying, yeah, I heard that one girl... Now, said somebody was kidnapped, I was describing. My friend said, in Enugu. He said, yes, we. It's one girl from UNEC. He said, UNEC girl kidnapped. He said, forget. She just obtained her father. That she just arranged for one boy who's her friend in class. Eh? I'm going to hide. Call my father. Tell him you are going to kill me if he doesn't pay half a million. That is how much it is with us, all right? But if it's Abia State, you don't think like that, too. I heard in Abia State, just collect people, say, come on, enter here. Make your papa send recharge card. Then I heard that Abakli Kiro has been out of bounds for some weeks because of crisis going on there. So I told them, I said, now listen to this. I'm talking about changing your mentality. There's this attitude of, Enugu is peaceful. I said, you know what to make Enugu unpeaceful. If once you have the attitude that Enugu is peaceful, then that's what will take away the peace in Enugu. What I mean is this. If you think that, I said, listen, you see crisis left, right, everywhere, and you're alone in the center. Eh? What is happening that the devils, these things are spiritual, they are gathering up resources, they are laying up their arms, all right, ready to attack you. And the way, I don't play football. I knew we would lose the match, quarterfinals against Italy in USA 94, I think. Was it USA 94? I knew we would lose once Westerhoff switched over to defending the single goal we had against the Italians. I knew we were going to lose. They injured Amokachi. Injured, they pulled them out, replaced them with defenders. I said, we are gone. What they should have done is to remove two defenders and put in attackers. And put the Italians under pressure. They will be trying to avoid one extra goal that the time will end. Once you tell, let's defend one. Wahala day. That's why the Bible says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Not of the defense of the geographical area they have already collected. Are you getting my point? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. In case you did not know before, let me remind you. Gates are not weapons of war. Are they weapons of war? Do you attack your enemies with gates? What do you do with gates? You mount a barrier against an invading army. So when Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, that is the church that is advancing. The enemy is the church. It's the devil that's trying to defend. We look at it as if the devil is the enemy and we are defending. No. We are the problem. I don't know whether you heard me. We are the problem. The devil is defending. That is why Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. That is when we attack, his gate cannot hold back our attack. I like what the Kenneth Hagin said. He said, when persecution, the Bible said, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. He said, do you know why? He said, because Jesus said to them, you shall be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the world. He said, many years after the resurrection, they were still in Jerusalem. So persecution arose against them. And those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel, that if they would have willingly gotten up and gone everywhere preaching the gospel, the persecution that arose against them in Jerusalem would not have been necessary. We are the enemy. We are the problem. The devil is looking for solution for us. Do you understand? We are not looking for solution. All these ones that you gather in church prayer meeting at night. Today, devil. Hey, listen, you are behaving like you are the victim. You are not the victim. You are the problem. Are you getting my point? The devil should hear that you have come and call prayer meeting. Why am I saying this? If we see wahala all around, we should not be happy that we are safe where we are. We will carry as our major weapon, prayer, and face the troubles all around. Good enough is one country. We will carry our prayer and face the troubles all around. We won't just be content that we are at peace here. That's what I mean by changing our mentality as an example. That is why the gospel that preaches give, collect, prosper, shine, while the whole world is in darkness, is a stupid gospel. It does not make sense. You are not permitted to be at peace, even though you have a good car, as long as the roads around are not good. You should not be content. Now I have bought one car, another one for my wife, one to do school run with for my children. I have built a house. Let it be settled. Every day you get up and see people who can't afford these things, your heart should not be at rest. Your heart should be set on development. Are you getting my point? For everybody. That's why I said, arise, shine, for your light has come. The Gentiles will come to your light. You have to understand, you are supposed to affect people around, not settle down and say, me, I have learned how to give. I haven't learned to give. I have prospered. You need to go and learn how to give. I have gone to a good school. It's not good enough. How can I create good education for everybody? That's what the Bible calls the salt of the earth. Are you getting my point? I hope you're getting what I'm explaining. So it's as we change our mentality that will release the spiritual forces into the atmosphere, that which we can affect things in our environment. Now, so that's very important. That's what it means to be the salt of the earth. So God is going to do things for us. All right? That, like I said, that we have to be careful to purify our hearts. Once our hearts are pure, we automatically release spiritual substances into the atmosphere, and events are changed because they have to suit the purpose of God in our lives. I hope you're getting the point. Listen, my friend, those of us who are here, all right, we are more important than 1 million people outside that don't believe. Are you getting my point? I want you to look at it like that. No, I always look at it like that, too. If troubles come, like, we have a few issues like that in my office. In my mind, I was telling my wife, I know I'm the Jonah that's making everybody suffer. I don't care what you think. That's what I think. I know what I'm saying. I say everybody will have calamity if God's trying to teach me a lesson. Do you know how much loss Jonah caused to the people who was in their boat? They didn't do anything against God that we know. God just said, you carry the prophet. All right, and they come. Even Jonah understood. He said, don't worry with all of those things you are doing. Just throw me overboard. They said, how can? He said, you guys don't get the point. I'm more important than you. Look, my name is Jonah. I'm telling you, I am the reason why you are suffering. Sack me from this company now. You don't get the point. He said, you have been a very faithful worker. We can't sack you now. Ah, okay, Oga. This company will die. I don't want to resign, I know. You call me to, I like the work, but believe me, sack me. God does not like my working here anymore, and he's going to give you trouble on the sack. That's what Jonah was telling them. This is not possible. After they had finished losing everything, they said, well, Shebi, we are going to die anyway, and Jonah too will die. So let's see whether he's telling the truth. As soon as they threw the man out, you know what, the rest of the story. The sea calmed down. What am I saying? You see, I've said this several times, we are not all the same with God. So sometimes people follow, if we enter calamity around me, I say, maybe I'm the one causing the problem. I'm doing things that God said I shouldn't do. I put my eyes where he said I shouldn't put my, and everybody is suffering because of me. And when they get blessed also, I say, yes, I said it. Because I know I'm not an average person. I'm a special man. In Jesus' name, I'm special. In Jesus' name, I'm special. I know it. I told people before, I said, you see all these roads are good in Enugu. Eh? It is because of me. Then the one between here and the River Niger, that side, they vex me every time. Now they are repairing it. You will see what I'm saying to be true. I hardly pass that Abakaliki road. It will take a while. Christians must have that mentality. So that's why you have to pray for people. Because God, listen, this is what I'm going to. God will do things just because of you. You hear what I said? Just because of you, he will do things. That's what we mean when we say salt of the earth. I needed to just emphasize that one again and again. I didn't want to even talk for this long. Let's read the other scripture I said we should read. In fact, when we say all these things, you make even these two lines of prayer, we say they're very, very potent. All right. The first one we share. Okay, let me read one scripture. The book of Revelation chapter 5. I'll just read one verse, a few verses, just to emphasize something. It said, and he came and took it out of the right hand, verse 7, of him who sat on the throne. And when, verse 8, he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And what are those bowls composed of? He said, this incense are the prayers of the saints. He said, notice that word, the bowl, golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of the saints. There's a reason why I read this. I always like to say that spiritual things have measures. Is that okay? Yes, they have measure. They can be quantified spiritually. So prayer has measures. Did I hear an amen? Yes, it has measure. God measures it. And everything that has measure requires a certain fullness before there's result. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. So if prayer has measures, there's a place where it must get to before results come. And when something has measure, all right, and it has to be full before it produces a certain result, there's one thing that characterizes the relationship of mankind with the heavenly realms. We usually don't know when we will feel that thing. Do you hear what I said? Oh, you don't get the point. If it has measures, it's established that the thing has measures. Therefore, you must fill it up to a particular level. But one incapacitation that we have, all right, is that we normally can't tell when we will have filled that thing. Therefore, the doctrine of patience is preached to believers. What is patience? Once you have identified that which is good and that has measure, you continue doing it without trying to check out how far you have gone. Are you getting my point? That's why one day you just wake up and discover that things have suddenly turned around. What am I saying? Prayer has measures. People say, we have been praying for Nigeria since the last 15 years. Nothing has happened. Listen, if you stop, that's another thing. Things that have measures tend to leak. You must maintain a tempo. It's very important so that you can feel it. What I'm saying is that if you have been praying consistently in faith for 15 years, it only means you are closer to the day of the manifestation of God. Did you hear what I said? You are closer. You are not supposed to get discouraged. You say, okay, at least we have covered 15 years. Maybe you are supposed to be on it for 25. All we have left is only 10. We don't know whether it's 10. It could be another 6 months. It could be another 25. We don't know. But one thing is sure, we are closer than when we first began. Do you get my point? I'm going somewhere. I've not finished reading the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 62, this is the last I'm going to read. And then I'll just refer to something about Psalm 122. Okay, while we're opening Isaiah chapter 62, let me just quickly say something about prayers that have results. Christians, oftentimes these days, we make this mistake. We are always asking for things for ourselves. And it's not bad, strictly speaking, it's not bad to ask God for something. But if we make it the center point of our prayer all the time, we start missing out on bigger things. What am I saying? The greatest things that God will give you will come because you did not ask for them, but you asked for something better than them. What I mean is this. God blessed Solomon with a lot of good things. Why? Because Solomon asked for wisdom with which he was going to bless people. Do you understand that point? All right. It's very important. So you can have every good thing in life and you never ask for them. Why? Because you sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And again, that's also in the matters of prayer. Isaiah chapter 62. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest. Everybody say rest. Now, rest means that the thing can get tiring, all right? He said, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, I need to just emphasize something here. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. What do watchmen do? They look. They observe things. Watchmen, what they do is that they look and they observe things. And they don't let things just pass them by. Are you getting my point? Now, this is a mistake we make. No, I've said a lot of things to end in all of this, in just a few things, all right? Number one, that we are very important. that when we ask God for things, he does it for just one reason. We asked. I always like a story that Kenneth Hagin told. One day he had a vision. And he said, he told the Lord in the vision that he's always had a feeling that his wife wouldn't live long. And that it seems being that since the day he married her, he just knew that this girl is not going to live long. That thing was with him. So that day he had the opportunity and he asked the Lord, I've always had this feeling. Is it true? And the Lord said, yes. She's going to die early. She'll die very early as a young woman and all of that. And he said, no, I don't want that to happen. Number one, I like her very much. You understand? And then number two, I mean, it takes, which is a matter of fact, all right? I've been married for, at least I'm in the 11th year now, all right? I know that it takes time, if you're like me, and you're a preacher, to teach your wife a lot of things that you know. And for the two of you to blend, you keep on blending more and more every day. So he told the Lord that it will take him time to start again. So one, he likes the woman, two, she's very important to his ministry. So the Lord said, what are you saying? Say, I don't want her to die. And the Lord says simply, no problem, she will not die. Why is she not going to die? Simply because you say you don't want her to die and you said I should let her live. So I'm going to leave her to live. Before that time, she had a goiter that was choking her to death. And then, well, let me not mix too many stories together. And she was afraid to go for surgery because she knew that if she went for that surgery, she would die on the operating table. After that, after this experience, well, the husband just told her, don't worry, you're going to go for the surgery, don't worry. And she said she just knew herself also. She was ready and that she wouldn't die on the table. And they went, she went for surgery, the goiter was removed and she did not die. Why did she not die? Because her husband asked the Lord. I always say something. I learned this before I got married. For 20 years after Isaac married Rebecca, Rebecca did not bear a child. The Bible said that one day Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. I don't know why it took him so long to discover it, but it took him a while. And then one day he sat down and asked the Lord, I've told my wife, you will be very wealthy in this life. Why? Because I sat down and asked the Lord for my wife, for my sake. Period. There's no that whether you are stupid or smart is not the issue. It is because I asked the Lord simply. And Ken Hagin said something in that book. He said God told him that if only my children would just ask me for things. The problem, all right, James said it, that you have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you don't receive because your motives are wrong, your mind is confused. I said, James said that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You don't even know what you want. That is, God will look and say, this guy said, give me yellow shirt. Tomorrow he said, give me pink shirt. The following day he says, it's brown because I saw Pastor Banky wear brown shirt. He said, no, and also Dechuku wearing yellow. Yellow must be good. As I was going out today, I saw the governor in an orange shirt. Give me an orange shirt. After a while, God said, Gabriel, collect all the shirts that we have ever sent to him. This man doesn't even know what he wants. That's why I thank God. When I pray for my wife, my children, even this ministry, I say the same thing consistently. I have not changed my mind in forever. So I know that God will do exactly. I know he will do exactly as I have said. What I'm trying to emphasize, you are a child of God. He does things just because you ask for them. But don't ever forget what I said about purification of hearts. It's important that our hearts are pure before God. It's very, very crucial. We are the salt of the earth. We have established that. All right? We have established that we are the salt of the earth. We are also establishing now that God does things just because we asked. And watchmen, what do they do? They open their eyes and they observe what is happening and then they ask because of that. Now, let's get practical to the reason I said we are going to pray for the country today. Some mercenaries went to a village in Jos a few days ago and killed almost 500 people. If you go and check, mostly children and women who were unable to run, who were unable to defend themselves. That's wickedness. Before that, this was a reprisal killing for something else like that that happened a few weeks ago also. Somebody came to my house about the weekend. I said, I have to leave on time because we are going through this way. We can't pass a back leaky road. I didn't even know anything was going on. I said, what's going on at back leaky? They said, two communities are fighting. I said, what's in concern? You're not from the community. They said, no, they kill anybody they see on the road. It's a spirit. Go and read Rick Joyner. I think The Prophetic Vision for the 21st Century or Shadow of Things to Come, one of those two books. I'm not sure which one now. It described the end of apartheid, what the devil planned to unleash upon South Africa as violence to end apartheid. But people prayed, and the horde of demons that were coming didn't see where else to go. So they deflected just around the corner and went into Rwanda and Burundi. And you and I know what happened in those two countries. These things are spiritual. Are you getting my point? That people, you know, Nigeria is an interesting country. And if somebody said something about Arabs, let me not talk about Nigeria now. They said Arabs are fighting the Jews. He said, it's just the Jews they see to fight. That if you settle the quarrel between the Jews and the Arabs will turn on themselves. That they're always fighting people. These things are spiritual, all right? You can't imagine that, you know, I'm trying to say that Nigerians, they say, hey, it is not south. I only want to say that. Divide this country, I say, you forget. When you start, you won't stop. On the rich man is a country unto himself, exporting to his neighbor and importing from his neighbor. I said, you know why it is north and south? Because at least it's easy to demarcate. I said, once you cut that, you see it is east and west. Then when you cut that, you say east, no, they are east, west, and east, east. And in Nigeria, is that hearing south, south. Enter south, south. You see the southern part of south, south, and the northern part of south, south. You will see Pepe. These things are spiritual. So let nobody tell you, look, forget all the explanations they give you for why crisis began in Jos. One way, when I was in university, Jos was where everybody wanted to live. One of the most peaceful countries in Nigeria. After I got married, we were honeymoon, traveling here and there. My wife and I went to Jos. I never saw people friendlier than those people. You ask somebody for direction. Please, how do I get to Plateau Hotels? The person will try and describe. Say, wait, we'll jump into your car. And you want to say, like, what are you going to do inside my car? Then you keep quiet. We'll give you direction. When they get to the gate of Plateau Hotels, the person will come down and say, there you are. And go back to where he or she was coming from. You dash somebody 10 naira. Maybe you stay in a hotel. The person wash your car. Dash the person 50 naira. He virtually prostrates to say, thank you, sir. Hiya. Very nice and friendly people. I thought this was the nicest place to live on the earth. Then one day I heard that they begin to kill people. I couldn't believe it. The fact is that it's spiritual. They kidnap people here. This one, I saw, I was sending people papa today. Some boys, seven people that police caught in Abakaliki for kidnapping. And from one kidnapping to the other, I do state, oh God, they kidnap orange cell herself. This is a spiritual. Yeah, they are spiritual. And listen, there are no accidents in life. You hear what I said? There are no accidents. You won't miss the vehicle that's about to catch fire because you were just lucky. You will miss it because God proposed that you will not die. Are you getting my point? I want you to see life like that. You know, I said everything that I was saying to let you know that you are an important person. And watchmen, what do? They watch, take instructions, and that's why I emphasize that they simply make requests and sometimes issue commands, depending on how the revelation comes. And then they continue to do that until they see a turnaround in what is happening. You have not, if there are people that in the last five days, you saw Nepal for the first time yesterday. If you are living in Transekulu, I know, because my friend lives there and he told me that this afternoon. When I came to Enugu, they said, ah, New Heaven. Light, no, they go for New Heaven. that was history, you know that. There's nothing like light, no, they come out anywhere now. Nobody has light. And what do we do? Most of them will just sit down and be whining and complaining. This country is useless, the president is sick, God said, you know why the president is sick? I'm not ready to bless you yet. If you ask me for blessing, I will heal him or remove him. I'll do something. As long as all you are doing is... Wait now, you go suffer tire. I don't need light in heaven. It's you that need light on the earth. Nepal know they work for here. Yeah, my very presence is light. I don't need any coal-fired or nuclear-powered or wind power station. So you had better rearrange your mouth so I can give you light. You are getting what I'm saying? We can't just sit down there and read the newspaper and be getting angry. And say, how can this quanta people. Mercenaries, they got them from somewhere. Just kill innocent people. I think we should kill them back. We have to kill them back. We cannot agree. We must kill them back. That is not how Christians think. We look beyond the realm of the physical and we're going to the realm of the spirit. And say, these things are demonic. These are satanic operations. Are you getting my point? Therefore, what's our job? Remember, we are the salt of the earth. All right? Upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, all right, against it. We don't go out and start shouting the pages of newspaper or shooting guns into the air. We kneel down in the corners of our rooms. We kneel down, we gather in places like this and recognize our authority that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Do you get my point? We first forsake every anger because you think that, you know, there are a lot of people who were happy when they killed the other because they were predominantly Muslims. Now they are angry because the people who died this time are predominantly Christians. God doesn't answer such prayers. Prayers born out of anger against people. He said, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. All right? We are talking about rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual wickedness that dwell in heavenly places. We're not talking about the Fulani headsman. Forget, those were probably from Chad or Niger. Not in the typical Nigerians, all right? Typical Fulani headsmen don't carry guns in Nigeria. I don't know where they came from. But well, that's not our issue. We know that something is going on. It's a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. That's allowing these physical things that we are seeing manifest. So we don't focus on the realm of the physical. We focus on things that are beyond that. We don't just relax that there's peace in Enugu where we live. We say, why should there not be peace in Abakiliki beside us? Why should there not be peace in Anambra State beside us? Why do we wait for the devils to come to our gates before we start repelling them? Why don't we drive them far away from where they are right now? How do we do that? We have the hottest of the weapons called the name of Jesus Christ. And if we gather, you know, in agreement, we ask. And we say, God, you are the God that make wars cease. Therefore, we command communal clashes to stop in Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus Christ. And we release some powers of judgment. There are people who have constituted themselves as agents of darkness. Say, God, eliminate them. How you do it? I don't know. If you want to kill, fine. Have fun. If you want to put in jail, we are with you. But that, in summary, with God, we don't need to give details. What do you want? We want peace to reign. Do you understand? We want that road to be good. We want our airport to be completed. As our believers pray. And once we have asked God for things, we now turn around and speak to the devil, saying, in the name of Jesus, we bind. Because whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind trouble and we command it to leave Abakiliki, to leave Ebonyi State. We command communal clashes to end in the name of Jesus Christ. We release peace. We loosen peace. The peace of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? We pray for justice also. I mean, this is our country. We have a new president, whether he's acting or de facto, whatever it is, he's in charge. He has sacked the chief national security advisor and put another person. He sacked an anaconda and put another person. Every time I call him anaconda, people laugh. That's the only way I know how to pronounce his name. But he's the president. And does he know, a lot of people, does he know what he's doing? Can he survive? Do you know the force that you're against him? You want him to survive? Ask God now to help him survive. You are not sure he knows what he's doing? Then ask God to give him wisdom to know what he's doing. Let's ask God for wisdom for this noisemaker to know to get away from there. Are you getting my point? Christians are not meant to just comment, chop, 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 chop. No. They are supposed to make requests of God and make declarations concerning what they want. The major problem we have had in the body of Christ is that we have learned how to draw our potential husband on the wall and call him forth. Husband, he will look like Pastor Bangi. And you are declaring the 10 things you want in a husband. Money after one night. We use all our energy. Draw the kind of house you want on the wall. Speak to the roof. Roof B. I said, no, it's foundation first. Let's go down to foundation. Foundation, have iron rod. Waiting to go get before. we use so much energy. Ah! I'm not saying don't ask for those things, but I don't think I disagree with the gospel that says you should wake up in the morning and be praying about house. Jesus said it categorically. Take no thought for tomorrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, where we don't, shall we be housed? After all these things the Nigerians seek, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Plenty houses, plenty cars, all right? The kind of husband or wife that's beyond your imagination shall be added unto you. Waste our energy too much on things that don't, that God said they should be added. Are you getting my point? If you like, you can bow your head. If you like, you can rest your feet. But let us pray. I have finished what I wanted to say. I have just a simple prayer point for our country today. It's for peace to reign, for security to improve, for wisdom for our acting president, for peace in our states right next door, Ebonyi State, and in Plateau State. I have no more prayer points for today. So let's begin to pray. First of all, let's just give the Lord thanks. Everything I said today, just say, Father, thank you for the privilege. I'm the salt of the earth. Thank you because I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you because I am your child. Say, thank you because I am blessed. Thank you because I have the righteousness of God because I have believed. Thank you because I can approach unto the throne of God. Lord, I thank you because of your spirit you have poured in me. Thank you because you have called me by name. Thank you because I can approach unto your throne and make requests, all right, concerning things that are going on the earth. Thank you because you have made me a watchman in Nigeria. Thank you because I am the salt of this nation. Thank you because you have called me righteous, I can pray. Thank you because you hear my voice when I cry. Thank you because when I call, you do hear me. Just give the Lord thanks for that. Just give God thanks for everything. It's Thanksgiving. Thank you for bringing me alive and well to this day, to hear your word and to operate as your child on this earth, as the salt of the earth. Thank you for the nation Nigeria. Thank you because the heart of the king is in your hand. So we know that the creation of this country was decided by you. Thank you because you have a great and mighty purpose for this nation, Nigeria. Thank you because you have a great and mighty purpose for this nation, Nigeria. Thank you for the testimony of men, people like Pa Elton, people like Rehan Bonke, that said that, yes, we are indeed the trigger for what God will do through Africa in the rest of the world. Thank you because when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, they were like them that dream. That means you can do something suddenly. Thank you because we know you're already walking behind the scenes. Thank you because your plan for this nation is being effected. Thank you because you have planted the salt of the earth all over the place. Thank you because at a time like this, people have gathered with me to hear your word because they love and respect your truth. Say, Lord, I give you thanks and I appreciate you for all of these things. It's a great privilege. Say, Lord, may I not fail you in doing what I'm supposed to do. Give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of insight. Give me insight and understanding that may I execute your judgment effectively on this earth. That I may use my tongue to serve your purpose and your purpose alone. Say, Lord, give me that wisdom. Give me that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I approach unto your throne today concerning our nation, Nigeria. Just begin to say, Lord, I've come. I have come to pray. In agreement with my brethren, I have come to pray. That peace might reign in Nigeria. That security might reign in Nigeria. That Ebonyi State will know no turmoil anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. That peace will reign in Plateau State in the name of Jesus. That conflict between neighboring communities will cease in Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus Christ. I have come with my brethren in agreement to ask for wisdom for our acting president, Goodluck Jonathan. Lord, I have come in agreement with my brethren to ask that your prosperity will flow into this land by virtue of the wisdom that you will give to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have come that power, generation of power and distribution thereof will be effective and mightily successful in this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. I have not come to ask for my own personal needs alone. I know that when I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, everything will be added unto me. Every supply is added unto me. Lord, you watch over me to perfect everything that concerns me. My heart is at rest in that. But I have come, Lord, concerning my nation, Nigeria. I have come, Lord, concerning my acting president, Goodluck Jonathan. I have come, Lord, concerning the matter of Plateau State. I have come, Lord, concerning the matter of Ebonyi State. I have come, Lord, because of the matter of Abia State, Anambra State, all right, and Imo State, and Edo State, where kidnapping is so strong. I have come also to give thanks for the peace you have given in Enugu State. In the name of Jesus Christ, as a body of Christ. Now, let's take them one by one. Let us start. I just feel like starting with Ebonyi State. Say, Lord, we ask you for peace in Ebonyi State now in the name of Jesus. You are the God that make wars cease. Lord, you make wars to cease. We command peace upon Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree an end to communal clashes in Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree peace upon the road going to Abakilikin in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, no weapon that is fashioned to maintain or a conflict in that place will prosper in the name of Jesus. That every man in authority that is using his authority to foment trouble will be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. That all agents of darkness will be disgraced in the name of Jesus. Now let us address the devil. It says, spirit of communal clashes in Ebonyi, we command you in the name of Jesus, be gone in Jesus' name. We decree that your activity in that state will not succeed in the name of Jesus Christ. According to the word of God, we speak to you thus far and no further in the name of Jesus Christ. We release the peace of God upon the whole of Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus. As people of God, Lord, we ask for your peace to be poured upon that land. In the name of Jesus Christ. Satan will decree that you have lost. You will not hinder anymore the progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon your church in that land. Amen. And let the truth of your gospel move in that land. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's turn again, brethren. Let's pray for Plateau State. In the same manner, let's begin to speak. Say, Lord, we come against every forces of conflict. Some people say it's religious. Others say it's just ethnic. Others say it's political. Whatever name it goes by. But the situation in which men sleeping at night are killed, women, children are murdered who have not done anything against their assailants. We say such a situation ends in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree the peace of God upon Ebonyi State. We decree the peace of God upon Ebonyi State. We ask God at this time to cause wars to cease in that land in the name of Jesus Christ. We release the peace of as the people of God, the salt of Nigeria. We say thus far and not further in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, John, let's pray together. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you because you have heard us. We decree right now in agreement that peace will reign in Plateau State in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that every perpetrator of evil, all the agents of Satan that wants to cause disturbance, Lord, their activities are frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, everyone using his political office to foment trouble, Lord, remove him in the name of Jesus. Remove her in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree peace upon that land in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree, Lord, that wars have ceased in that state in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we say, thus far and no further in the name of Jesus. Amen. You spirit of conflict, we command you to get out of Plateau State and out of Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Amen. We decree that the atmosphere of peace and of prosperity will reign, not only in Plateau State, but in every corner of this our nation, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks because you have heard us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just give God thanks for peace in these two states and everywhere else in Nigeria. Let's say, Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we worship you because you are so good. Because we are so good. Because you are so good. Because you have blessed us. Because you are so good. Thank you for peace. Lord, thank you for peace. Thank you for peace. Even in our state, Enugu here, thank you for peace. We declare, Lord, that progress we will see. Further peace we will see in this land. We call an end to kidnapping every state of Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. All age people that make money from kidnapping other people and putting their families in distress, we declare in the name of Jesus that their activities have come to an end in Jesus' name. those who will not repent by tonight, Lord, let judgment fall upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. For concerning our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our cousins, our uncles, our friends, our loved ones, even those we do not know, we say they will sleep in peace and be in security in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every arrow, every gun, every idea of kidnappers will not prosper against them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let peace reign in our land. Let prosperity come into our nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take another prayer point. We have a president. A lot of us have not prayed for him one time. Let's pray for our acting president, Good Luck Jonathan. It's very simple. Say, Lord, strengthen him. It's very simple. You know, they don't need big words. What do you want? Lord, give him wisdom to make NEPA work. Give him wisdom that will allow education work. Give him wisdom that will let the judicial system work. Give him wisdom that will help that will make the police system work. Give him wisdom to bring stability into every corner of Nigeria. It's very simple. It's not hard. Begin to pray those prayers. Just give simple words. Say, concerning Good Lord Jonathan, what we pray. You have brought him to the office at a time like this. Give him wisdom in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him the way you strengthened David. Give him good advisors that will be able to tell him your will. Give him good advisors, Lord, that will tell him your will. Give him the strength to do that which is right. Lord, give him the strength to do that which is right. Lord, is no longer his own person because he's a president over all of us here. And we are your people. Therefore, we say he will do your will and your will alone in the name of Jesus Christ. His own will, forget it, will not do that. But your will and your will alone concerning our lives is what he will execute in the name of Jesus. He will not execute the will of PDP. He will not execute the will of any state. He will not execute the will of his friends. He will not execute the will of his supporters. But he will execute the will of God in Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Ask God to protect him. Ask God to guide him. Ask God to guard him. Say, Lord, guard this man. Protect him. Keep him. Let his life be precious in your sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, give him your wisdom, your strength. Lord, to do that which will execute your judgment. Lord, we have been praying for this nation. We want now, at that point, let's really begin to pray about NEPA. This is not good. This is not good. Let's pray concerning power supply in Nigeria. The wisdom and the willingness to do that which is right, supply to everyone in authority to execute them in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody who is prospering because of this disorder, that will therefore want this disorder, Lord, to continue. Eliminate such people in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are asking you for a constant power, so it is doable. What is it? Ha. Say, Lord, let the kind of peace you gave us in telecommunications, give us that same peace in power in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. Lord, according to the word I spoke earlier, in a short while, it will happen that we will look back at today and say, did it really happen? That you mean there was a time we're all buying generators? Those who are importing generators will find another thing to sell. Amen. Yeah, they will find another thing to sell. Amen. Let them start selling card meters. No, let them start selling heating equipments, air conditioners, things that will make that will use power to power. You understand my point? Yes, Lord. But it will happen shortly. Lord, confirm these words. That will look back and say, did today really happen? Was there a time that all of us were owning 2-3 generators? We will laugh and say, do you know those in kingdom where we had 3 generators working? One in the afternoon and 2 in the evenings for our Bible studies. Because we had to power air conditioners. Lord, let it be in the name of Jesus Christ. We are not soothsaying like the Philistines. We are not looking at things that we have seen and say, this is why they can happen. No, we are saying, we are asking you, God, in heaven, in whom there is light. Lord, let that light shine onto our power sector in Nigeria in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take away darkness from our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I want to say thank you. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We worship you. There's one song we sing. We will worship the Lord. I'm not sure I know it very well. Who knows it? Of glory. We will worship the King of Kings. We will worship the Lamb of Glory. And we will worship the King, and with our hands lifted high, we will worship and sing, and with our hands lifted high, we come before you rejoicing, with our hands lifted high to the skies when the world wonders why. We just tell them we're loving a King. Oh, we just tell them we love in a King. Let's just worship the King of Glory. Say, Father God, we worship you. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. We are loving you, our King, because you are our hope. You are our hope of good things. Lord, we thank you. You are the Almighty God. You are our El Shaddai. You are our hope, our defense. Oh Lord, in peace we will lie down and sleep because you alone makes us dwell in safety. Thank you for the safety, Lord, that you have poured upon our hearts, upon our lives, upon our abodes in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you because Satan, the devil, is frustrated concerning our lives. He comes to us and he has nothing in us because we have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Father, you are so good. Say, Lord, 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 you are so good. I acknowledge you as my King. Lord, I will walk in your will all the days of my life. Give me the power to do it, Lord. You are so good. Lord, I love you. Say, Jesus, I love you. You came, you died for me. You brought me out of darkness and you put me into light. You brought me out of death and you put me into life. Lord, you brought me out of poverty and you put me into prosperity. Lord, you brought me out of sickness and you put me into sound health. Lord, you brought me out of confusion and you gave me clarity of mind. You brought me, Lord, out of serving the devil and you brought me into serving you, O God. You brought me out of the kingdom, the domain of darkness, and you have brought me into the kingdom of your Son, in whom I have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, thank you because my sins are forgiven. Thank you because I'm a priest of God. Thank you because I'm a priest of God. Thank you, Lord, because I'm a priest of God. Thank you because you have blessed my nation because of me. Thank you because you have blessed my family because of me. Lord, thank you because you have blessed the earth because of me. Thank you, Lord, I worship you. You are so good. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow everyone present here today, all the days of your life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I decree that as you go, you will not meet accidents in the name of Jesus. Amen. I decree that safety is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I command the prosperity of God to be manifested in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I command the favor of God to be upon all that you put your hand to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you have loved the Lord, therefore he will love you and keep you and exalt you and cause his blessings to be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you thanks in Jesus' name. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.